We are talking about the Spirit-filled, the Spirit-led life. We started this series about 6 weeks ago, and hopefully we'll be finished by the end of the year. God wants you to experience the peace of His. Well, I call it the God zone, the peace that passes all understanding. And today we're going to be talking about how to hear and know, discern, and follow His voice. We talked about last week that the Holy Spirit wants to, the Holy Spirit talks to the Father. The Father reveals His will to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit talks to our spirit, tells our spirit what the Father is saying. And He's kind of a communicator between us and the Father. Now, you may say, well, I thought God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus were all the same. That's true. I'm not going to explain it. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. Okay? So you figure it out. All I'm just telling you is what Scripture says. And I'm going to leave it at that because I can't explain it. I just know that that's what Scripture says. So we're going to pick up where we left off last week and revealing, showing you some passages of Scripture that really gave me some problems early in my Christian life. In John chapter, Jesus said that His sheep will listen and know His voice. His sheep will listen for and know His voice. Let me read you a few passages of Scripture. John 10, 1 through 5. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. So I'm not a shepherd. Anybody here a shepherd? No. We don't have a lot of sheep here. I don't have a lot of shepherds here, but what I'm told is that a shepherd, when he speaks, the sheep know his voice, and when that shepherd speaks, the sheep will follow the voice of the shepherd that is over them. John 10, 14 says, I am the good shepherd. Talking, Jesus said this, I know my sheep, and they know me. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Early in my Christian life, I didn't know Jesus' voice from my own voice. I didn't know how to hear His voice. I didn't know what that sounded like, how He conveyed His will to me. And I got messed up a lot of times regarding following Jesus' voice. But I do remember one time I lived in Odell, Oregon. I was a worship and youth minister there, and I was making $100 a week. And I remember one time a pastor from Orofino, Idaho, asking me, would I go on a mission trip with him to Lima, Peru? I said, well, I'll pray about it. He said, well, it's going to cost you $2,400 to go. Well, I thought, it's going to do a lot of good to pray about it. But as I prayed about it, I felt like God wanted me to go to Lima, Peru. But I had no financial resources. And so I went to my pastor there at Odell, and I told him, I said, I feel like God wants me to go to Lima, Peru. He said, how much is it going to cost? And I told him. He laughed. And so he said, but we'll take up an offering for you this evening, church. And so we took up an offering. And do you know how much we took up that morning, that evening? $54. It was just enough to get my passport. So I took that $54 down and I got me a passport. And I really knew. And so every week, and this was like, we were going to be leaving in July, and so he was calling like January. Have you got your money yet? Nope. Nope, don't have my money yet. Nope. And I was so determined. I knew that God wanted me to go to Lima, Peru. I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I was determined that I was going to go sit in the airport and wait for a ticket to be given to me, because I knew God wanted me to go to Lima, Peru. I just knew that. Well, he called me. So we were leaving on Wednesday. He called me Sunday. Brad, you got your money yet? Nope, I have my money yet. He called me Tuesday night. He said, Brad, we've been trying to sell a house in Denver, Colorado for 10 years. It closes on Wednesday. I want to pay your trip. So I got my ticket. How do you know? So I've learned to discern when God speaks to me. But you will need to understand that when God speaks, usually it takes a step of faith in order for that information that's been given to you to be revealed to you. In actuality, because faith is not seeing until you believe. You have to believe and take steps before you see it in reality. And so that's what faith is. And so now I can discern God's will. But did you know it's still a struggle sometimes to do what God says, even though I know what God says? But it always works out better if I do what God says rather than what I say. I know many of you in here could give similar testimonies of how God has led you, because I've heard some of your testimonies. But God said, my sheep know my voice, and they will follow me. So the question I have for you as before we go on is, do you know the voice of the Lord? Do you know the voice of your shepherd? You know, when I was a brand new Christian, I was just a lamb and I hadn't learned my shepherd's voice yet. And it takes time. We're going to talk to you in a minute on how we get there. But first I want to bring your attention to a passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And you're going to say, well, what in the world does this have to do with hearing and discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit? Now, before I begin, the Church of Rome was made up of Christians who were Jews, Christians who were Greeks, and Christians who were, Paul calls them barbarians, or other Gentiles. Okay? And they were the multicultural church. And so when Paul is speaking in Rome, oftentimes he's delineating who he's speaking to. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law, who was that? The Jews. They were familiar with the law. Don't you know that the law applies only while a person is living? For example, when a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, the laws of marriage no longer apply to her. So while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law that does not commit adultery when she remarries. And you're thinking, what in the world does this have to do? Hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. We're going to read on. And because, well, let's read on. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. When we were controlled by our own nature, sinful desires were at work within us, And the law aroused these evil desires and produced a harvest of sinful deeds, resulting in death. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. So here's the deal. He's using the marriage as an illustration of what he's going to, what he's trying to point at, trying to get to. And what he's saying is to the Jews, he said, Jews, at one time, go to the next slide, please. Jews, at one time, you were married to the law. And any time you had a decision to make, you would check through the law book and say, okay, that's the decision I'm going to make because it is an obedience to the law. And now what Paul is saying to the Jews, he's saying to the Jews, Jews, you are no longer married to the law. You are dead to the law. The law has died, and now you are married to someone else, and your marriage is to Jesus Christ himself. And so anytime you have a decision to make, you need no longer need to look at the law. You need to look at Jesus Christ because you're married to him. Does that make sense? That's what he's saying here. He used the marriage as an illustration. He's not preaching on marriage per se, but what he's saying is that you are now married to Jesus Christ. And you need to seek his will because he's your new authority when you came to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I don't know if you know anything about the Greeks, but this is what he would say to the Greeks. He said, the Greeks were very intellectual, very rational. You remember Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, all of these great thinkers? They were Greeks. As a matter of fact, Paul went to Mars Hill, and when they gathered there in Acts, he said, all of you come to hear some new thing. So the Greeks were just kind of like, they just wanted knowledge, 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 knowledge. And so when they had a decision to make, they would do their best to come up with the best decision according to their knowledge and according to their intellect. And then they would make their decisions based upon how they were able to intellectualize the situation and rationalize the situation. And Paul would say to the Greeks, listen, you are no longer married to your intellect. That is not your final authority. Yes, God gave you a brain. But Jesus is your new husband. And he's the one that you should look to and ask questions of before you make decisions. Does that make sense? Now, to the barbarians or to the Gentiles or the rest of us, Paul says this. So the barbarians and the Gentiles would make their decisions based on their emotions. Whatever felt good, that's what you do. Would you please change the slide, Josiah? So anything that felt good to them, that's what they did. And Paul would say to them, guys, you're no longer dependent upon your emotions. Your emotions are not going, should not dictate to you what you should do. You're no longer married to your emotions. You're married to Jesus Christ. Sometimes, have you ever had your emotions take you the wrong way? So he said, we need to, before we become emotionally charged, we need to check with Jesus Christ because he's your new husband. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is your new husband. And you need to check with him before you make decisions. Do you understand that? That's the point Paul is making here. So, How does one discern the voice of the Holy Spirit? Learning to discern. Not long, well, I don't know, maybe you can help me remember how long this has been, Miss Carolyn, but we purchased, so this church, we didn't have this foyer on at one time. We didn't have a parking lot when I came here. Our property was like 40 feet less than it is now. And we decided, the lady next door decided to sell us, wanted to know if we wanted to buy 40 feet of her property, and we said yes. So we bought that property, and we decided to put a parking lot in. In order to do that, we had to put rain drains in. We had to put electricity under the roadway and everything. And at one time, I was an underground excavationist. I helped put in sewers. And I was we got bids. It was like $5,000, $7,000, $8,000 to put in the rain drains and stuff in our parking lot before we could ask why. We didn't have that kind of money. And I'm like, God, what do we do? What do we do? I can do it. I can do it. And every time I thought, I can do it, the Lord would say, no. And I was in a bind because financially we couldn't afford to have anybody do it. I thought. And so I was willing to take it on myself, even though it had been 30 years since I ran a backhoe. Okay. And so it's like, oh, I can do it, I can do it. No, you can't. No, you can't. I can do it. Have you ever been in one of them frazzled things? That's where I was. And so finally I said, okay. So we got a bid from a fella, actually it was a Catholic fella, a fella from the Catholic Church. And he came in, he gave me a bid. He said, I'm going to just charge you for my labor of my men. I won't charge you for the labor cost for my machinery. And so, anyway, long story short, I put it in. How long ago has that been, Carolyn? Long time ago. 12, 15 years ago, whatever that, however long that's been, you know, we're still waiting on a bill. We've sent notes to him. We want to pay you. And he never has sent us a bill. Isn't that amazing? I'm sure glad I didn't do that by myself. I'm so glad. But man, me and God were arguing about it. Have you ever argued with God? He and I were arguing about it. I'm so glad I finally listened to his plan rather than my plan. So here's the deal. In order to hear God's word, the first thing you need to do is desire and determine you want God's will above all else. Now you listen to this, because this is going to be hard to swallow. You can't have any will of your own except to follow His will. Okay? Because if you have a will of your own except to follow God's will, then you're going to be in a battle, you're going to be in confusion, and you're going to fight. Got to lay it all down. Lord, how many of you like the word surrender? I surrender. We sing that song, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. That's easy to sing. Love to sing that song. But do we really do it? So, pick up your communication card. And let's just say this is a check. A blank check. Let's just say that's a blank check. And you say, okay, God, so on the check it says, to whom? To God. To the amount of whatever, whenever, however. Let God fill in the blank. That's surrendering all. You don't own your house. God does. You don't own your bank account. God does. You don't own your car. God does. It's not yours. It's His. Well, He can have everything but. Lord, I'll do anything You want me to do. Except. I have a brother. Some of you met Troy. He's a pastor in Gresham. So he was in Angola, Africa, working on an oil rig whenever he came to know Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And then the Lord called him into the pastorate ministry. And Troy told God this, I'll serve anywhere You want me to serve. Except Angola, Africa. Well, that wasn't good enough for God. God, I'll serve anywhere except Angola, Africa. Troy wrestled with God and wrestled with God, and finally Troy said to God, Lord, I came here to Angola, Africa to make money. If this is where You want me to serve, this is where I'll serve. God told him, it's not where I want you to serve, you just need to be willing to do it. We don't, when we're God's and we want to follow His voice, we're His sheep, we don't have choices except to follow. That's our choice, is to follow. This passage, in John we read these passages of Scripture. And it troubled me because, part of it was because in these passages it says, I am the good shepherd, I know My own sheep and they know Me. My sheep listen to My voice, I know them and they follow Me. They know My voice and He leads them out. So the question I had was I really His sheep? I wasn't following. Was I really His sheep if I wasn't listening? Was I really His sheep if I wasn't obeying? Those are some questions that I had in my own personal life. Here's what you need to understand. There's always, always, always a blessing when you follow. Always a blessing when you follow. You remember Abraham? God said to Abraham, I want you to go to this country. And Abraham, I'm thinking, like, oh, okay, where is that? Oh, you'll find out when you get there. Find out when you get there. I'll let you know when you've arrived. You know, all of us want the big plan. We want to know what God wants to do 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 5 years from now. But I just asked you a question. Are you doing what He told you to do today? Because if you're doing today what the Lord wants you to do, you will do 10 years from now what He's asking you to do then. But if you're not doing today what the Lord is asking you to do today, you're not going to be doing it 10 years from now. And you're going to miss the opportunities that God has for you. Learn to discern. So here's the deal. Know God's written word confusion is one of Satan's largest weapons. Do you remember a lady named Eve and a guy named Adam? Do you remember them? They were in the garden. First garden. God created the garden. He put Adam and Eve in it. And the word of God came to them. And the Lord told them, do not eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then here comes this snake-like guy. And he says to Eve, did God really say? Did he really say that? Give me a break. The first thing that you're going to have problems with is confusion. And it's important that you know God's word, because if you know God's word, then it's going to help you not be so confused. Eve became confused because she kind of understood God's word, but she did not take it into her heart. You need to take God's word into your heart. You can become confused if you don't. Another reason we get confused is because sometimes there's some things in our head that doesn't agree with what's going on in our heart. In our head and our heart get into an argument. And then confusion sets in. Should I do? You know, the Lord speaks to our heart, and then we begin to have reasons why we can't do that. And we have confusion in our heart. So get rid of confusion. So there's a passage of Scripture. It's, I guess we'll get to it. So, the third thing you need to do, number one, was desire and determine. Number two, don't be confused. Listen to the word of God. Number three, pray and listen. I should have said ask and listen. Ask and listen. I'm going to say this. Some of us talk too much. Some of us are not willing, I can't say shut up. My wife tells me that's wrong. Sometimes we don't shut up long enough to hear what's being said by God. You know what I do? I ask a lot of yes and no questions. When I'm praying and I'm looking for direction, I'm just like forward. Lord, should I do this? Father, should I do this? It's a whole lot easier for me to hear yes and no. Scripture says let your yes be yes and your no, no. So it's a whole lot easier sometimes for me to hear yes and no than it is for a big dialogue. Okay? So I'm asking a lot of yes and no questions. And I'm discerning what God is saying to me in those yes and no questions. So sometimes it's best just to keep your prayers, if you're looking for direction, just keep your prayers short. Listen more than you talk. Does that make sense? Okay? Because if you really want to know God's will, you're not going to try to convince Him otherwise. Oh, well, God, that's not a good plan. I think this is the best plan. So just ask short, Lord, your will, not my will. Okay, so, and again, don't get messed up. Ask the right questions. Ask all the questions. There was a time when I said, Lord, should I go back to school? He said, yes. And I said, okay, well, this is where I'm going. What's wrong with that? Yeah. boy, that was a mess up. I didn't ask him where I should go, when I should go, or how he's going to take care of it. I didn't ask him any of those questions. And I got messed up. You got to ask the right questions. Pray and listen. Psalm 5:3 says, "Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I will bring my request to you and wait expectantly." Pray and listen. Pray and listen. Number four, exercise your spiritual muscles. Did you know you had spiritual muscles? There is, you grow into the ability to discern. Hebrews 5:14 says, "Solid food," say solid food, "belongs to those who are full age," that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you're able, so as your first beginning and you're praying, you may get some things wrong. But if your heart is truly desiring to know God's voice and truly trying to follow Him and giving Him His will, you're not going to get far off before the Lord just starts getting you back on track. Solid food belongs to those who are full age or who are mature because they've had their senses exercised the discerning both good and evil. So how are you? Are you exercising your spiritual muscles? Are you exercising your ability to discern what God is saying to you? You need to exercise that. Learn to discern. So how does the Lord speak? So some people, here's the deal. Thoughts will come into your mind. So you're praying, thoughts will come into your mind. Write them down. Some people have pictures. They see in picture form. I don't see that. I don't do that. But some people see pictures. Some people see visions. Some people have dreams. Here's what happens to me oftentimes. And I'll pray about something maybe in the morning and say, "Lord, give me direction, da-da-da-da-da-da." And a few hours later, a song pops in my head. And then all of a sudden, I realize that song, through that song, God is answering what I was asking about. Isn't that weird? Sometimes He speaks to me through Scripture. When our children were very young, Crystal and Micah were really small. They had allergy problems. And we didn't have finances really to take them to the doctor. We couldn't afford the medicine. I mean, $100 a week is not a lot. We didn't have we depended a lot more on the Lord then. And so I was going to the Lord, and you know, I was praying, and I'm saying, "Lord, what do we want to do about the children? I don't know what to do about the children." And as I was praying that prayer, James chapter 5 came to mind. Call the elders of the church together, have them pray over them, anointing them with oil, and that those who pray in faith, they will be healed. So I said, "Okay, well, that's what we're going to do." It was on a Wednesday. The reason I remember that, because we had church that night. And so we went to church that Wednesday night, and lo and behold, Brother Jay was preaching on that text out of James chapter 5. Isn't that amazing? And so after it was over, I said, "I want you to pray for my kids." So they did pray for my kids. And immediately, my children had no more problems with allergies and haven't had since. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So God speaks to you through Scripture. And it's important that you have a great handle on Scripture so that you can hear the voice of the Lord. When the Lord speaks to you through Scripture, you know that 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 you have a word from the Lord. Okay? And then you need to move on it. But here's the thing. When the Lord speaks to you, you can choose to follow His direction or you can choose not to. If you choose not to, you're going to miss a blessing. If you choose to, you're going to receive a blessing. Not to ask stunts your growth. Not to listen stunts your growth. Not to follow stunts your growth. It's imperative that we learn to ask, we learn to listen, we learn to follow. So here's the bottom line, and I will be closing here shortly. The bottom line is that God answers when He answers. The way you know it's from Him is because He gives you an answer of peace. There's peace in your heart. There may be trouble all around you, but in your heart, there is peace. So you remember this. When Pharaoh had these dreams, and he couldn't find anyone to interpret them for him, he brought Joseph in, and he said, I understand that you can interpret dreams. Because you've interpreted other dreams, you can interpret dreams. And Joseph said, it's not in me. Go ahead and put... He said, so here's the thing. It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Pharaoh wasn't even a Christian. He was a pagan. As a matter of fact, the Pharaohs of Egypt were people who they considered themselves gods, and those in Egypt had to worship them. And God said through Joseph, Joseph, I'm going to give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So when Joseph interpreted the dream, how did Pharaoh know it was truth? I mean, Joseph could have come up with some stuff. How did Pharaoh know that what Joseph was telling him was right? Peace in his heart. You may say, well, God would never tell me to go to Africa because there's no peace in that. Sometimes God will tell you to do things that are contrary to your own desires. And you may not feel any peace in it, but you're going to feel a nudging, and you're going to feel a pressing. You're going to feel the Holy Spirit just continue to bother you about it. Until you give in. Once you give in, there's peace. Let's just say you don't know if it's God's will for you. Here's what I do. I say, okay, Lord, I'm a little not certain about this, so I'm going to take a step in that direction. Feels pretty good. Feels pretty peaceful. I'm going to take another step in that direction. I'm going to buy that passport. I'm going to start collecting gifts to give to those people in root. I'm going to start doing that. And the more you do it, the more you take those steps, the more peace that's going to come in your life. Does that make sense? And so as you take those steps, more and more and more peace is going to come over you, and you'll know that you know that you know that you know that this is God's will for you because of the peace in that circumstance. A passage of Scripture in Colossians. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God doesn't bring confusion. So if you've got confusion, that means there's a battle going on between your will and God's will. God wants to send you to... somewhere out of the country. In a dark place. Let's just say Iran. Mom and Dad says, don't go to Iran. That can't be God's will for you. Don't take your children to Iran to be missionaries. So let me ask you a question. Are you safer doing what God asked you to do, or safer doing what you know is not God's will? I would rather be in the center of God's will in a place like Iran than outside God's will in Tillamook. Last passage, James chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his works and the meekness, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly and spiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, say peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So here's the deal. God's wisdom is not selfishness. It's not looking out for number one. So if you're looking out for number one, what's best for me? You're getting off track. That's demonic. That's earthy. What's best for me? That's devilish. Is it argumentative? That's probably not from God either. But rather, it's pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, and good fruits. When you make decisions that are not God's will for you, you're going to lose your peace. Did you know that excitement is not peace? And that greed is not peace? Did you know that? Pride? Did you know pride is not peace? People mistake it for peace, but that's not peace. When you choose not to follow the Lord and go your own way, And because of your own decisions, your own emotions, you will lose the peace that God has prepared for you because you're in disobedience to His will. So I want to ask you a question. Has the Holy Spirit been nudging you about something, about a decision you need to make in your life, and you've just been kind of holding back? And you realize this morning that it has been the Holy Spirit that's been talking to you and you haven't had your ears open. Would you write out that check this morning? God, whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. It all belongs to you. I'll do what you say.